Well, a Merry Christmas again to all. Christmas is a time of increased emotions for many. Some are good, some are not so good. And you just might say, oh, it's a wonderful time, Christmas. Well, it's not wonderful necessarily for everyone all the time. And I know it's a holiday season and Christmas, but I know many people have experienced more fear in the last 2 years than they probably did in the last five. I think I have. Jennifer said, you're preaching to yourself, aren't you? I said, yeah. We tend to do that when you preach. Change in administrations, COVID, lockdowns, fear of not having a good enough mask, fear of not living long enough to get the vaccine, fear of getting the vaccine, fear of unknowingly infecting someone else. Any of you felt any of those? I hope I can help us and the Holy Spirit put fear aside and live fearlessly. I titled my sermon, Fear Not. I believe that's what God wants for his people. Interesting to me, at least, this thought came in an unusual way to me as I was reading the Christmas story in Luke's Gospel, which I will read in a minute, and it's that passage I gave on that little blue sheet. As I thought of fear, here are some things that ran through my mind. It's interesting what happens when you do like a search on your Mac, or I have a little button that's you put something in and it'll search all your documents to find something. It's like, oh, I forgot this document. And it's there because it was had something to do with what I was searching. So anyway, back to fear. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Eleanor Roosevelt on March 4, 1933, his inaugural address, famous line that he co-opted from somebody else, I think, and just crafted it a little bit different. No fear. Remember that those two words, they've popped up on posters and things, or fear with a no sign through it. And then I thought, fear, Adam and Eve. They were afraid in the garden. So in the third chapter of God's word to us, God acknowledges fear as a reality. And they had, my first parents experienced fear. And there's quite a number of admonitions about fear in Scripture. Well, it's a genuine human emotion. I think it's an emotion in response to dangers or threats or uncertainties that we have. And they can be physical or they can be psychological or mental. In Exodus 14, when the Israelites were up against the Red Sea, and remember, Pharaoh's army was coming toward them, and they thought, we're cornered, this is it. Moses says, fear not, for you shall see the salvation of the Lord. And we read today in Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong, do not be afraid, do not be frightened, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Ruth 3, Ruth was afraid of her future. What's going to happen? I'm a foreigner in this land. I'm a widow. I'm living with my widowed mother. And Boaz says, fear not, I will redeem you. Remember? And in Matthew 10, Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Don't fear. And of course, we read the New Testament lesson in the boat, and the storm came up. why are you afraid? Jesus said, why are you afraid? And then in John 14, this is when Jesus was talking to his disciples about leaving them, that he was going away. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So many admonitions not to be afraid and not to have fear. So what caught my attention? Well, let me read our text for today. It's in Luke 1. It's on that purple sheet, 67 to verse 80. And this is Zechariah's prophecy. Remember, he was promised a son. He said, nah, this can't happen. I'm old. And the angel said, you're not going to talk for a while. I'll give you something. You have time to think. And when the baby was born and he gave him the name John, then he could speak. So in verse 67, it says, and his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, speak to us now as we think on this subject of fear. We confess we've all had fears this past week, this past month, these past years. You don't want us to live in fear. So speak to us through your word so we could live without it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was struck by verse 74, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And that's what got me thinking about fear. Wait a minute, serving him. I know a lot about serving God, but to connect that with having fear, it was a little bit different thought. I hadn't had that. So I thought, what do I fear? What does Jennifer fear? What does the congregation fear? What do my neighbors fear? And like I did on Christmas Eve, I made some little groups, you know. And I got four categories of fear that I think encapsulate a lot of what humanity fears. And the first one is the fear of being exposed. The real you, you know. You ever fear about someone finding out who you really are? Genesis 3:8, Adam says to God, when God says, where are you? He says, we heard the sound of you in the garden and we were afraid. Remember, God says, What are you afraid about? Did you eat from the tree? John 3:19, and this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. We don't want to be exposed for our works, for things we do. But 1 John 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we are exposed. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And I thought, how does this fear, what does Zechariah say anything about this fear of being exposed? Well, verse 74 says that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. How do you do that? In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So it seems to me, if we ask God to help us live holy and in righteousness before him, you don't have to be afraid. What's there to be afraid about if you're doing right? If you're living righteously, and it's not meaning you have to perform to be acceptable to God, but if we are attempting to live a holy, separated life, separate from sin, separate from doing things that, thinking things, our motives that we shouldn't have, hey, I got nothing to hide, right? You've heard that expression. People say, I got nothing to hide. That's a great attitude to be able to express if you don't have anything to hide, right? So that's the first one. The second fear, so the first one is fear of being exposed, the real me. God takes care of that. We'll get to that. Number two, fear of not measuring up or of not being good enough. Remember in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, the three servants and the talents. And you remember the response of the servant who got the one talent? What did he say? I was afraid, so I hid that talent. Here's what belongs to you. He was living in fear. The other two servants, they weren't living in fear. They had more risk. They could lose two or five talents. Then in Luke 5, remember, Peter's fishing and Jesus is on the shore and he says, hey, put your nets out. Peter said, okay, we're the professionals. You're just the teacher, but because you're who you are, we'll do it. And what happened? The nets were so full of fish, the boat started sinking. And Peter realized that he had made a huge blunder. And Peter says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And Jesus said, do not be afraid. Why did Buddha say that? Do not be afraid. You couldn't catch fish, but I'm going to help you catch men. You couldn't do your own job by yourself. And be successful, don't be afraid of not being able to get the job done. I will help you, and I will help you catch men. Romans 3:28, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. We're justified by faith, not by our performance, remember? And Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us, but in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So in Zechariah's proclamation, he addresses this fear of not being good enough. I thought maybe this is the one he addresses most of all. Who's working? Who's providing salvation? Who's showing mercy? Verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He has visited, he has redeemed, he has raised up a horn of salvation. He has given knowledge. He forgives the people their sins. He has tender mercy. He gives light in verse 79. He guides our feet. Wow. It's not as long as you do it good enough, as long as you get on the right path, right? As long as you acknowledge the right things. No, God's doing it. So why do I have to be afraid of not performing? Third fear, the fear of something more powerful harming us. COVID, the next variant, the vaccine, inflation, all of those things are bigger than any one of us can control, right? We can't control any of that, the next variant. I mean, we might as well just throw in the towel now, right? We can't do anything about it. Genesis 28. It's the story of Jacob and the ladder. Out on climbing Jacob's ladder. I was going to sing songs on Christmas Eve, but after singing all those hymns, I thought, I can't sing verses of songs. He was afraid when he woke up. He said, this is a fearful place. I don't know what I just experienced. This God is... He was afraid of something bigger than him that he didn't know what it was. That was Jacob. Deuteronomy 1. Moses is retelling of how Israel, they were afraid of the Canaanites. Verse 29, then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt, before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carries you as a man carries his son. Do not be in dread. Do not be afraid of them. Of course, we read about the storm. Can't control storms. I love this one. 2 Kings 6. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, oh, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he said, do not be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those are with them. And you got to look at Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So I saw in Zechariah's praise and prophecy that we shouldn't fear anything or assume things are more powerful than we. Again, verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, all who hate us. COVID hates us, right? The variants hate us. Looking for anybody who doesn't have immunity. That we, being delivered from the hands of our enemies, there's a lot of things that are against us. Those are our enemies. So whom do you fear? All authority has been given to Jesus. And God swore that he would keep up his part of the covenant, what he promised Abraham. So fear of being exposed, right? That's the one, first one. Fear of not measuring up. Fear of something more powerful than we are. And finally, you know what the last one is. Fear of death, right? And we've certainly experienced death in the last 18 months or 24 months with COVID as well as other causes. It's touched many of our lives. And my purpose today isn't to wade into this topic of death and afterlife and all that. God knows that human beings have a fear of death. It's this visceral sense that death is not normal. You know, when you see something that doesn't seem like it's normal, that's like, ooh, what's that? You know, you have this reaction. I never saw a bug like that before. Or you see something oozing out of the cupboard or from somewhere, and you say, ooh, that looks alive. You have this visceral reaction to things that aren't natural. And we know that death just doesn't, you know, you see an animal on the side of the road, it's just not natural for this lifeless animal. You expect an animal to be alive, right? It's just not natural. I mentioned already John 14, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And that was Jesus talking about going away. And that's a very, very poignant picture of death, is separation. Jesus going away. He was going to die, and he was going to be separated. Hebrews 2:14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to a lifelong slavery. He wants to deliver us from the fear of death. John 11, we all know the story. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John wrote that, so he's asking us that question too. Do we believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And the last scripture is Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If the fear of death wasn't such a real fear in human beings, why would God put it in Scripture so often? Don't come to me in January. Come to me right afterwards and give me an argument for that. It's a real fear, but God addresses it. And Zechariah, I think, helps us with this concept of the fear of death too, verse 77 through 79. To give the knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness, don't know what's going on, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into a way of peace. When you're afraid, you don't have any peace. You're in turmoil. God doesn't want us there. He wants to guide us into a way of peace. You're in the shadow of death, verse 79. Guide us. He wants to guide us into the way of peace. So, here in this prophecy of Zechariah, surprise to me, he speaks of things that God has promised, that things that God will do. But to me, it was a wonder of how much of what he said addressed fears that we have. And right there in the middle of that thing, he talks about that we should serve God without fear. And that's what caught me. It was right in the middle. And then everything to me kind of was bookends on that thing. He very specifically prophesies that so that we can know that God is enabling us to serve him without fear. God does not want us cowering, always looking over our shoulder, always nervous about our next step. And that's one of the wonders of Jesus coming. It's one of the wonders of having that as part of the Christmas story. Will you lay aside your fears? As we stand at the cusp of 2022, who would have thunk it? Let us ask God to give us courage and the will as we trust in Christ to serve him without fear. Let's pray.